That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We got Brian back today, baby.
Yeah. Hey, listen, people address all three of us, you know, when they're excited.
We're a throuple, unfortunately.
We are. We've been a throuple for a while. I've been your unfortunate third wheel since our 20s. So
we have fun. We have fun, but yeah, the three of us are back together recording live today. Usually Brian's in a dark room watching horse racing or football somewhere, getting paid money to do it, but today he's right next to me.
Ooh, baby. I got in an ooh, baby anyways.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
Ooh. New catchphrase. Ooh. Ooh, baby.
Well, here welcome. We are. Yeah. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome, guys. Welcome to Sidewalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
And I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin. I have to come out of the gates with a confession. I'm wearing a bunch of cover-up, and we can't totally see it on screen, thankfully, but I got bit to all hell by mosquitoes and bugs on my vacation. So have you seen the bug bite thing?
Oh, I know the bug bite thing.
The bug bite thing, right? So I was doing the bug bites, and then I was on the couch last night, and I was like, oh, I bet this is like cupping. And I went over my face.
So so you hickeyed your face up.
I hickeyed the fuck out of my face. There is now I look like Seal. There is a scar going down my cheek. I woke up this morning and I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh my God, I was bug biting my face.
Well,
I was suctioning. Ugh.
Worth it, I think. You know, should we catch the listeners up on like Michigan and lake bugs and.
Yeah. You know, first, right off the bat, let's say if you're back in the game listening to us, please, word of mouth, we're back. Tell your friends if, you know, this was a show you used to bond over, be like, they're back, bitches.
Like and subscribe, smash please. Those 5 stars. I haven't said that in a minute.
I know. It feels great to hear that again. And we changed our category of podcast to food so that we can be more competitive. It was very stupid that we were in comedy all these years because we never stood a chance.
we really just did ourselves wrong by being in comedy and continuing to be in comedy to this day.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, if that isn't a metaphor for my whole fucking life. truly. But if you want to drop a review, or if you've never given us a 5-star over on Spotify or wherever you listen, we would love it, because that starts to put fear in the hearts of other food podcasters that we're back.
Yeah.
I was in Michigan for a week. Hello, Midwest.
Your happy place.
It is my happy place. And I have to say, where we were, and I'm not even going to go into a major takedown, we just didn't eat a single good meal that wasn't homemade. So it was weird.
It was. I mean, that's good, though. I mean, like, look, but also like making homemade food, especially when I'm sure there's some nice farmers markets in Michigan up there. There's really fun produce to be had.
Oh, we went and got that smoked whitefish spread.
Yeah, every day, baby.
It's so good.
If you guys have never had what is the Michigan, at least the Great Lakes region, if you will, smoked whitefish. You know, it's usually a whitefish, like a sturgeon. Is it a sturgeon? I want to say sturgeon, but, you know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. There's smoke shacks, like teeny little smoke shacks, like dotted across like the lake areas where they smoke the fish, and then they make like a creamy, mayonnaise-y, spreadable,
capery
Ritz cracker, you know, involved like little dip. And, you know, it's good at any occasion.
Any occasion.
So we did have there. So Did you guys ever make your voyage up to Petoskey, or did you only make it to Charlevoix?
No. We definitely drove through Petoskey for sure, but we didn't shell. We didn't
On your way to Mackinac.
On our way to Mackinac City. On your way to Mackinac. Story. Oh, boy.
So we ate at the Perry Hotel, which is this famed hotel where, like, Ernest Hemingway, you know, stayed back in the day. Like, it's got this old bar called the Noggin Room. But we went there for dinner one of the nights, and we were obsessed with the server we had. She was the most chill, whatever. Like, it's like a certain age group, and every interaction we had with her, every time she was out of earshot, we all started laughing. And, like, because she's like, hey, I mean, like, yeah, if you want that, I mean, I could probably make it happen. Yeah, no, it's cool. It's chill, guys. Yeah,
I know the kitchen, and, like, I could probably, like, get a burger or, like, fired for you with them.
She's like, yeah. Don't worry about it. She kept saying, like, don't worry about it. And I'm like, no, your job is to serve us. She's like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, I can, sure. Yeah, no problem. Don't worry about it.
I mean, that's a take on interesting perspective, a way right? to be a server. Yeah, I think I could get them to whip that up.
Like, there were no special requests, just everything straight off the menu. She's like, yeah, cool, yep, no prob. You know, we're just like, wow, you are just absolutely of a different generation.
Like, you guys
I love
don't
it.
Want any substitutions on this? Well, let me check with the kitchen. I see what we can do.
I got you. I think she said, I got you a few times. And we're like,
I love this. It was so good.
We loved it. My generation, obviously, you know, was like, okay, cool. But my mom and dad's minds were blown. They were like, she's so informal with us, you know, but we were having a good time and laughing about it.
That's great. That's amazing. I love that we can talk openly about ADHD. You know, I recently made an appointment to talk to my GP about getting on meds.
I'm starting to think I've been on the wrong thing my whole life, too. And yeah, I started to take the quizzes, and I've really thought about things in my life where you and I have, you know, it's like, I could either be a 4-point student or 0-point.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no in between.
Absolutely. We've had conversations about this before. Going to therapy helps, and me being like, you know, my whole life I haven't been able to focus. And why do I have all these amazing ideas? And when I sit down to do them, I feel like my soul's being crushed from the inside out and the outside in. And I, you know, the world is collapsing on me. And I, you know, there's so much to it. But I'm kind of like, I'm ready.
Executive. We have trouble with executive function.
Executive function, which is why waiting tables and working at restaurants, when it's this like controlled chaos, right?
Where right.
You're moving all the time. So you've got somatic healing because you're moving, you're walking, ooh, you're, you know, ooh, you're doing stuff like that. But yeah, you can thrive in controlled chaos. You know, it makes me think of the Richie episode, that like every second counts episode of The Bear a little bit. Like how he like does so well in organized chaos, you know, like, I mean, his story, I don't think was his ADHD. I think it's because, like, even, you know, I'm going to, you know, I feel like we should do a whole like bear episode for season 2 anyway. But just to see him like thrive with organization at the chaos as opposed to just chaos was like so like, I don't know. It was my favorite episode of the whole season.
It was rad. I mean, yeah, we can get into a whole like bonus, like let's just kiki about the bear sort of thing. But it just turns out that there is a reason you might thrive as a server. And I kept seeing more and more people on Reddit threads talking about how good the job actually is for their ADHD, because you can function and kind of feel on top of the world. It's a high that is really hard to explain because your brain loves to be in a million different places at once. And so there's the repetition of the parameters of every night, but it's never the same. Like the same things are going to happen, but you can never predict what kind of customers you're going to have. So you don't get bored of the job, but you thrive in the routine, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, this is in part reason why now I've now become an esthetician, because I get to multitask all day long. I get like do different things all the time. I get to have like curated music, things that could like get to look pretty. I'm like a one woman show all the time, you know? So there's like, it's still a service industry job still, you know, like I'm a people pleaser, right? That's a whole different part of like, that's a whole different part of childhood trauma, but like, but, yep. It's great to bring this up and you know, and recognize that like, you know,
We're saying we see you and we are late to the game, undiagnosed, didn't know why we were so good. You know, because I also walk around my house with 15 things in my hands and I stop in the middle and I'm just like, what? Where am I going? Just, I won't clean one thing. I have to clean, you know, 15 things at once.
Yeah.
Or if I go to put one thing away, I will, yeah, just suddenly
you're like,
be in
all
my...
of a sudden, I'm like taking everything out of a counter, like a cupboard to clean it. You know, I've recently been having like a couple conversations like here and there with my parents, and like both of them separately have been like, yeah, you know, we always thought that maybe there was something that was going on. And I was like, did you fucking do anything about it? And they're like, well, no. And like, it was a hands-off generation of parents. I get it, you know.
At least your parents noticed you. So anyways.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it was a latchkey. You're making yourself dinner by the time you're 7 years old. You know, you're off doing your own things. Just like, don't get killed and like check in every now and then. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, we're here to say we see you. We see you, all you ADHD special little, we're little diamonds, you know? We are just little buzzy, multitasking, special little brain childs. What can I say?
What can I say? All right, so should we jump into some headlines then?
Oh my God. I mean, first things first, we have to just talk about Maui. Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
You just went about a year ago, right?
I did, yeah, yeah. And yeah, it's Lahaina is a beautiful, amazing place, like one of my favorite restaurants of all time, Papa Inya, which was attached to the Pioneer Inn, which was like the oldest hotel like on Maui. I don't know. I'm probably just on Maui for sure. Completely gone. Everything completely gone. Like super devastating. I mean, I got on right away and we're going to, you know, there's this great LA Times article that you found about like different LA restaurants really helping to donate and like, you know, who to donate to and what to not donate to. But Sheldon Simeon is like the first person I looked at on Instagram because like I respect him so much. He's an amazing Hawaiian chef. He has Tin Roof. And I was like, you just tell me where to donate, what to do. So a couple that we're going to read right now, you know, if you want to get into this article, I've donated to. And then I also donated to Rainbow Helicopters, which is a helicopter like tourism like company. And they've like dedicated all their helicopters to like flighting supplies like all over the island for everybody.
You know, and we're being hyper local in terms of Los Angeles, but we know that Austin, Seattle, Portland, anywhere really that feels just the great devastation, like you at your restaurant could put together any sort of fundraiser. Doesn't matter if you raise $500 total. It's all so, so needed. But Californians obviously have such a symbiotic relationship with the Hawaiian Islands because it's really close and easy. It's I think we have the most mainlanders. What's the best way to put it? Like, there's just a lot of overlap of Californians moving to Hawaii or native Hawaiians who do live in California.
Yeah, I think it's definitely West Coast. Like, I know Vegas is a huge population for people who are like, you know, like native to Hawaii. Like, moving to Nevada is a big thing as well. Yeah.
But yeah, which one? I mean, because I didn't dive into any of them, but is the Maui Strong Fund the one that you're...
Maui Strong is one. Well, I mean, Sheldon Simeon, of course, is working with World Central Kitchen, like right away.
That one.
And I'm like, God, of course, of course, World Central Kitchen, who we talk about and love. Mm-hmm. They're working right away to start feeding people. Chef Hui Maui Relief Fund is another one that he has linked to. You can absolutely donate to, you know, talking about here, local restaurants here on Jack Thai, which I actually just dined at on Sunday. It's amazing. Yeah. They're this really great Thai restaurant here in LA. They just won a James Beard Award. Like, they have an insane wine selection. It's delicious. It was really fun to go to, but they're doing, they do Taco Tuesdays, and then they're creating Hawaiian dishes, and then all of those dishes that are being purchased, like a portion of the proceeds are being benefited toward, I believe they're doing the Maui Strong Fund.
Very cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so there's so many ways to donate. It's crazy.
Yeah, and if it's not something that you, like I've been unemployed and I am, you know, it is hard to, I used to just love to give without thinking twice about it. I mean, I'm able to give what I can, you know, from my household. But again, if the parting with your own money is hard, that's when you can organize and get other people's money. And you're doing the legwork to do it. So I mean, it's just as valid.
And I used to think that, like, even with myself, I used to be like, $20 isn't going to make a difference. But if think about it, thousands and thousands of people donating $20, it makes a huge, huge difference. But yeah, I mean, if you guys have ever been to Hawaii, dream of going to Hawaii, like, you know, drink a tropical drink. There's so much amazing, like, heritage, culture. Like, the island is just so gorgeous. And I just think that it's just so devastating. So many amazing restaurants just completely vanished, you know, like, but the banyan tree is standing, and I'm sure will become like a symbol of hope for, you know, the rest of time, you know? So, yeah.
Sweet Jesus. Anyways, thoughts to all the people in Maui who've been affected. It's devastating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, so awful. Well, moving on to someone who is more lighthearted and we can make fun of. There is this chick on TikTok who just had a viral video, viral TikTok that dropped.
Fingers crossed, and that's us one day.
Oh, my gosh. Basically, she thinks she debunked free bread at restaurants. She's like, I know the truth, and the restaurants are winning when they give you that free bread. So clearly this is not about her own health channel, because I do think her username is Sweet Fiber. So she's someone who clearly has an agenda regarding fiber and glycemic levels.
Yeah,
and
didn't look at anything else on her TikTok page at all. But yeah, she definitely is like, when you eat bread, your glucose spikes, mm-hmm. which makes you hungrier, and then you order more food, and they're tricking you.
They're tricking you. They're getting all the money. That free bread is not kindness. It is not just a way to, I don't know, why do you think they give free bread, Andrea? I think it's to prevent hanger and little bitch episodes from horrible customers.
I think it's just like something, I think it's just something to be like, look, we give you something for free. Like, we're establishing your trust. Like, you know, chips and salsa, she also mentions. But most of the time, I started thinking about this, and like most of the time at places that give free bread, especially if it's the good free bread,
it
doesn't even come until after you order your meal anyway.
It's right.
Like, you order your meal and then you get, you know, the same that could be said for like sugary drinks. Anything can spike your, you know, spike your glucose. Like, so.
And it's also like, why wouldn't you want to order? And like, the point of restaurants most of the time is to order what you can off the menu and have fun and take leftovers home. And it's the bread. Like, I'm also like, what about people who just waited an hour and a half and got sloshed at the bar, mm-hmm. and they sat down, get that bread or get that basket of chips and salsa in front of them.
Is spiking from the alcohol. Well, I think it's like. And if I'm going to a place with free bread, I'm going to fucking house everything inside anyway. Like, I'm going out to eat. If I go out to eat, I'm not going to be like, meh. I'm usually going to be like, I'm going to eat all these things right now. You know, that's me.
I just love her fucking hot take. I'm like, okay, Marjorie Taylor bread. Like, what are you doing here with your conspiracy theories?
Conspiracy bread theory. If anything, she should give us advice on what to eat after we eat the bread to bring our glucose levels down.
Like, do we have
half a banana after we eat the bread basket? Is that what the dinner salad is for, to bring you back down? Because that's how I learn how glucose works. You can eat things together and they work to keep those levels even.
Why single out only bread and not go into the full menu?
And
you know?
Chips and salsa, which Brooke is like, how dare you?
Don't you bring chips and salsa. Brooke's like, get chips and salsa out of your dirty mouth.
I won't eat a whole enchilada, then a bowl of chips and salsa. I can do it the opposite, you know?
Yep. You gotta keep chasing that salt dragon. You gotta chase the flavor dragon. It's just the best combo food. Anyways, what an absolute turd. Guys, feel free to discount anything this woman says and go for the free bread. Or I thought she was going to say, because the baskets are filthy or something like that. My brain went to like, don't eat the free bread.
I was like, it's going to fill you up. And then like, almost like they would get less. And that's what a lot of people do anyway.
Right.
They're like, keep bringing us more bread and then we'll split an entree. And you as a server are like, fuck my life. Fuck this shift. Fuck, you know, like.
Literally in the history of my waiting tables, only had one table who came in where that was their ploy. And you're like, it is what it is. I bring them their bread. I bring them their one bowl of soup to split. And I pretty much ignore them because that's their game. That's the game they're running. And who cares? I just know, like, bring them bread, drop the check, you get nothing else from me, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But literally, in all the history of waiting on tables, Olive Garden, you know, they're like, come on in, all you can eat, bottomless breadsticks, because they know people love that. But anyways.
Anyways, we could go on a tangent forever, but about this next story. Dunkin' Donuts, new Dunkin' Spiked Hard Iced Coffees and Teas. Coming to a more like New England-y store near you.
They're like, one bagel and I'll get a hard spiked dragon fruit tea. But it's more, the spiked milky coffee is what's killing me.
Like Bailey's.
Like a Kahlua.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of, okay, so first and foremost, Dunkin' Donuts is putting out alcohol. Like, that's just the end. So everybody's in the spiked, like, cider boozy game. It's like, it's a weird novelty thing that's like happening. It's hilarious to me. Like, how many options can we have out there? And so, yeah, Dunkin' Donuts is doing a collection of coffee and beer and hard iced teas that are all 6%. The flavors include Dunkin' Spiked Original Iced Coffee, Spiked Caramel Iced Coffee, Spiked Mocha Iced Coffee, and Dunkin' Spiked Vanilla Iced Coffee. I don't know if it's a coffee beer, this one specifically. And the tea, they've got sweet iced tea, strawberry, dragon fruit iced tea, bleh, mango pineapple. I don't like spiked tea, period. I'd get down on the other ones.
That's a really nice breakfast buzz right there. Just an absolute shot like pour it of over sugar.
Ice and just like, I mean, this would be like a good, like, you know, you're like, you're pre-gaming for like the big game on a Sunday, you know, you're like on the lot. This could be a real good, yeah.
Move
crush
over.
A couple Dunkin' spiked.
Right? I'm like, move over, Bloody Mary. Here comes some spiked Dunkies. I'm going to talk about spiking your glycemic level when you have one of their original spiked caramel. Because it's malt liquor is what makes, it's malted beverage is what makes anything a seltzer, which is, it's nasty. They make me feel, I haven't found a seltzer I like. I know. But I love it. It's like Dunkin' has entered the chat, you know?
And they're saying here on this article from the Nerdist, like, just be aware they're not going to sell them at the Dunkin' Donuts stores, guys. You're going to have to live anywhere along the East Coast because it seems like everything's just going to be along the East Coast with this. They're not coming to the Midwest, not yet. They're not coming to the West Coast, not yet. I mean, we're just now getting Dunkin's here in LA and people are flipping their shit. I personally could give a shit about Dunkin' Donuts.
Nope.
That's me.
You know, I'm with you.
You know, mm-mm. I'm not against Dunkin' Donuts. They're just not in my wheelhouse. So I don't think about them like a lot of people do. So
it's all right. It's an emotional attachment for a lot of people, which I understand. I'm just so sad that I don't get to walk into, like, you know, the Port Authority in New York City and be like, yeah, give me one of those microwaved sausage croissants and I'll take a spiked caramel Dunky, a hard Dunky. And then I'm going to go take a Dunkin' dump on the train platform.
I mean, as someone who still hasn't had coffee in, you know, almost a year, I have been enjoying a nice iced decaf lately. But I'm just like, I don't need it. I don't need it.
And also, everyone feel free to come at me for, I cannot do a Boston accent. It veers into Jersey, then New York. The only thing I can say is like, had cider.
I know. I can, and like the most I can do is like a click and clack impression, which is not cool to do. You know, that's very animated, and a lot of people might not even know who the fuck that is anymore. Because that show's been off the air for a real long time.
Very fun.
Car talk.
Well, I love it.
Right.
Drive like my brother.
All right. Well, you guys, that's enough headlines. Let's jump into some server
submitted
stories.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Very cool. We actually had one dropped hot and fresh, but I also still took one off of the Reddit thread today to go with our topic of the day. So via Reddit, the title of this post was, "This job is consuming me with hatred." And the writer goes on to say, "I don't know if it's just my city I serve in, but I experience the rudest, nastiest people on a daily basis. They're the absolute fucking worst humans. I've been a server for a few years now, and this job is making me lose all faith in humanity." Wow, this is okay. "It's not just the boomers either. This new generation are some rude, entitled little cunts as well." And it runs the gamut from rich, entitled pricks to trashy people that have no problem causing a scene trying to assault a server just to get something comped for free. Oh, this sounds like a nightmare. I'm like, do you work at an Applebee's? Okay. And God, the middle-aged rich white women with the Botox lips and the crazy eyes, they scare me the most. They are frightening. "There's an astoundingly small window of people that are pleasant to wait on anymore. The nerve of people to get rude at someone doing their job over something so minor on a busy night is crazy. No decency or consideration that I'm a fellow human being and that this is a hard fucking job." You know, we've all been there, and we are going to go into this topic at length in a few minutes here, but it's hard. I think we are at a weird place in time where you are probably experiencing burnout, but the entitlement and the behavior in restaurants, especially post-pandemic, has gotten really out of hand.
Really,
so
it's not
just you. And the abuse that so many of you really suffered in the midst of the pandemic,
I feel like a lot of that trauma is just now starting to like come up because,
sure,
you think about it, your brain's like, let's hold on to that for, and then when it's ready, it starts to like bloom out and you're like, now your body is capable of dealing with this, So that might be coming too, to be like, wait a second, I'm not happy at all, on top of. Yeah, looking around and just having nothing but like crazy fucking awful people to deal with, which is such a shame.
It's such a shame. And to be fair, no one would do well in this situation. It's being just subject to just the dregs of humanity over and over again. When it's really so simple to just be even neutral. You don't even have to be nice as a customer. You could just be neutral and be normal. Even that, I'll take that any day. Almost like sort of being ignored, those mm-hmm. tables. Because those are the people who are kind of like, yeah, no big deal, I don't want to talk to you, go away, usually leave an awesome tip.
You mean just the regular way you're supposed to interact with your tables and wait tables? Like,
right.
It's just like the normal, I don't have to do a song and dance for you. You're not an asshole to me. You just come get your shit. I bring you your shit. Everything's fine. See you next time.
Like, or maybe the advice to this person on Reddit was be like that waitress from Michigan. Be like, yeah, all right,
I'll probably arrange that.
Let me see what I can do. I'm gonna try and hook it up for you guys. I'm gonna we'll see.
I can make some calls and see if it. So good.
You're a fucking cunt, mate.
All right, next story. Oh, you guys, we love a server submitted story, and we love a server submitted story from Jared. Jared from Georgia. Oh my God, it's been a minute. Here we go.
It has.
Brooke, Andrea, Brian, so good to have you all back from the break. How have things been for me? Well, they've been good. I now host karaoke at the bar I work the door at. Hell yes, we love karaoke. And I was a set rep for the bar when they filmed the fake White Castle they built beside the bar. It was my first time having a real White Castle. Delicious, but I hope your tum-tum was okay with all that, all those steamed onions. Well, now that I've caught you up, I'll let you know that I am burned out. Yes, I sit there and I check IDs and whatnot, and I have been feeling the burn. I'm only there 2 times a week outside of the hosting duties I have, but the stress is really getting to me. I feel it. There have been times when I just don't check or don't care to even look at IDs, which is dangerous and could get the business in trouble. But I power through for sure. I'm sure. Of course. Of course. But when it's a mixture of being the first and the last defense lines, dealing with unruly customers and dealing with the unhoused homeless, it's too much. I genuinely want a job where I'm not used or being exploited because of my size. Is the money good? Yes, it truly helps. But I want to sit my fat ass down in front of a computer and work in an office. But as of right now, I'll continue to do what I have to do until I can get the job I want. Always a pleasure to hear y'all. Godspeed, good tips. And that's from Jarrett, who we love, who we adore. It's so fun getting back into this because I'm like, oh, right. We have our regulars on this show, you know?
We do. And truly, like, we never tire of hearing from you, especially when we haven't communicated with y'all in a long time. Because guess what? Andrea and I think we're feeling the burn.
Yeah,
of,
we really
of
feel burnt out too. And this really rings true to, like, the strikes going on, not just like in, you know, Hollywood, but like fast food, hotels, like everybody is feeling the burn, not getting, you know, and we'll get into this for sure now to the topic of the day. But yep. I mean, this is just such a good segue into the topic at hand, wouldn't you say, Brooke?
I think so.
But yeah, this is bringing us again, like we said, segueing to the topic of the day, which is burnout.
Burnout. Hey, burnout happens, people. It's a bunch of BOS, burnout syndrome.
Burnout syndrome. Yeah, the wrong kind of boss. Not the kind of boss you want to be.
No, definitely not. So, you know, we really do want to hear from you guys and your input on this topic. But how about we just get into, you know, for anyone who's not sure if they're experiencing it, I can give you a definition of it right now. So, all right. The definition of burnout is workplace burnout is a state of emotional, mental, and physical exhaustion. Learning how to talk again. Okay. Workplace burnout is a state of emotional, mental, and physical exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress that has recently been sort of categorized as a serious occupational health issue. So instead of being considered a medical condition, it has currently been reclassified by the World Health Organization to be an occupational phenomenon. So the burnout is a syndrome that results from chronic workplace stress that's not been managed. It refers to the occupational context, and it might bleed into other areas of your life. The chronic stress in the workplace, you know, might need medical attention, and you need to be aware of warning signs and, you know, look for treatment if it gets that serious. But you could, like, before you clock into your shift, you could start to have headaches, intestinal issues, fatigue, not feel good, you know, like have anxiety driven sleep and toss and turn. And what does it come from? A complicated work or work with a restrictive time frame, a work overload, work with unfair compensation, work which is valued, work that is not valued, or work that does not generate pride, work with a lack of justice, honesty, trust, or acceptance, work without real authority. Okay, dude, this all, like, if you can choose,
you're like,
six out of
the list, this, I worked at a place like that.
Yes. So, and I mean, it's just, it couldn't be more service industry specific, if you ask me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Work under organized, unorganized system structures or work without determined goals and directions.
Yeah. Hello.
That's being in the weeds right there.
Like life weeds, when you're in the life weeds, you know, yeah. When you're just like, I don't know how to get out. I mean, there are just so many just hard conversations to have about this. But so we thought it was really important to talk about because this is where there's the bad course collision, right, of burnout, but then the golden handcuffs, which is what I keep hearing so many servers say, is they're like, this job is killing me, but I don't know how to make this kind of money anywhere else. And also maybe I've been in this industry too long to get a job somewhere else because my resume is only restaurants.
You painted yourself into a little corner, you know, at a restaurant. Yeah. I mean, easy. We talked about this so many times. It's quick. It's easy. It's accessible, but it's true. It's like, it is really hard to be like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's a really hard emotional roller coaster and road to make decisions for yourself anyway. Mm-hmm. You need to advocate for yourself. Like, and that's the number one, wouldn't you say, when it comes to burnout, what's going to make you happy?
Right, right. You know, and so you do have to kind of say follow the fear, which is an improv term that Andrea and I have learned from day one, is follow the mm-hmm. fear. You know, it is very scary to walk away from something you've known and just know that it will be kind of wild and it's probably going to give you anxiety, but I promise it's the good kind of anxiety because you're making changes for yourself.
Being scared is real. If you're not scared, like being scared is like means you have your feelers out there and you're paying attention to what's going on and you're paying attention to details. I mean, I just posted this inspirational quote just today, Brooke.
Just today?
Say that right now.
Wow.
Don't let the distance between where you are and where you want to be scare you out of simply moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You get some snaps for that, girl. Okay.
Right? I mean, I've been, yeah, you gotta, being burnt out is a lot. And again, you know, I know I kind of mentioned this before. I'm also plugging my computer in right now.
Yes, we got to.
Apparently, this is podcast 101-ing right now.
Yeah.
Little things we're forgetting to do.
Plug your shit in, people.
Talking more about a collective feel of burnout across the board right now with all the strikes going on everywhere. People have had fucking enough
of being exploited and treated like dirt,
underpaid, mm-hmm. undervalued, overworked, you know. And the thing is, when we talk about, like, it's the World Health Organization, who bringing this in, you know, with burnout, with it being actually recognized, you know, what happens is, if you guys didn't know, stress brings on inflammation in your body and then all your organs, like, start to get inflamed, which is why you get headaches, which is why you get stomach shit. It's like, and inflammation leads to like cancer, chronic health, like depression, you know, things that are going to catch up with us later in life because we're fucking being like, I don't know.
Right.
I think we're all just being abused.
We are being abused, and it is the truth. And I think everyone just kind of has their threshold, especially when you're young and you've still got a spring in your step regarding the job. Even if you've successfully done it for years, I think what's important is to kind of eat the bullshit. You've done it for years. And then one day you're just like, I can't do it anymore. And I think it's important to recognize the signs. And I think specifically in the service industry, here's a sign that you might be experiencing burnout. Number one, you hate the sight of anyone who walks into your place of employment. Do you know how that, I mean, we know how that feels as a customer when you're like, burnout, baby, because,
oh yeah,
oh my God. And as a customer, we've all been there. We like it's the worst thing to really deal with. And then I start trying to people please the angry server or bartender because, you know, I'm just like, they are in a way, and like, and I get it and I know how this feels. And instead of being scared of them and kind of giving them what they want, which I think when you're in burnout, you also want to get into altercations.
Totally.
I think you do. I try and be nice and actually, you know, people please and treat them, you know, more flies with honey sort of situation. But,
right. But I think when you're sober now, you're like, well, what have I fucking got to lose? And you're short fused at that point because you've been worn so thin that you're ready to just fall apart, crack it. You know, you're cracking.
No one gets any grace. Everyone walking in through the door is already an asshole turned up to a 10 in your mind. So there's no room. There's no wiggle room. And then you're kind of doing a self-fulfilling prophecy, which is actually a jail of your own making because you have burnout.
Totally. And I think that there's different journeys to this. I think there's personal journeys and that you're just, mm-hmm. you know, you're ready to move on. But there's collective journeys in this too within mm-hmm. restaurants, and that the entire place being understaffed, being overworked, like not having like supplies come in. This has got to be a thing where like group morale is just like at an all time low.
I hear that. Yep. So like we said, again, another sign is just not caring about professionalism anymore. Probably being a little loose with the F-bombs in front of customers.
Probably like maybe getting drinking on the job.
Yep, that's burnout. There's one thing to maybe have a drink or two before the job to kind of get you through it. Then you have your coffee and then you go get wasted after. If you're you know, getting wasted the whole shift to get through, okay. might be burnout.
You're getting full blownsies. Yeah. You go ahead.
I was going to say that this other sign, feeling really depressed and panicked before the work shift starts.
Yeah.
That was a big one for me.
Yeah. Depression or panic. Like, you can't even, like, it's like, even walking into the establishment is like, yeah.
Or just total numbness, which is also a very scary feeling. Cause you're like, wow, I'm really, really, I'm dead inside. You done did it, restaurant industry. Literally dead. So on a positive note, because Andrea is just like, you sound like somewhere between like a Tara Brach, you know, like a beautiful, inspirational, radical compassion. Places. You are going places. And I love the energy and positivity. But let's get into a little bit of self-care that would, you know, apply to servers specifically.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So here's one. So no matter what you did closing down an after hours bar, get up and as much of the day and have as much of the day to yourself as you can before clocking back in.
Yes.
I think this is a huge self-care step. I practice this now. I never used to when I was young. Now I find the time that I have before I go into work so precious, and there's things I want to get done, whether that's like having time to myself to do creative and do writing or exercise or anything like that, but just like make sure you have you time for sure.
And that's, and what, like we're saying, it can be a hard cycle to break out of because you hated the shift so much that you stayed out to a 4 a.m. bar and then you get up in just enough time to get a coffee and do it all again. You have to break that fucking cycle.
Yeah. And you feel like shit because you're hungover and you're, yeah, you waste your day going in and then you have to drag your ass to work.
Yep.
And then you have like, you have to have like, you know, beer shits at work, which we've all done.
You're like still having beer shits at 4:30 p.m.
Totally. Well, it's like you have to go in and there's stuff. If you have to share the bathroom with like the people who are, you know, with customers, it's like you have to do the flush while you're pooping, you know, move like so nobody hears it. It's not fun. It's not good.
Nope. That employee bathroom is a rough. That's seen some rough stuff from back of house and front of house.
Real, real stuff.
Woo. You know, and again, everyone, this is like our unsolicited advice, but it is stuff that has worked for us when we've both experienced burnout. I also say, even if you're not a workout person, because in the jobs, you know, I was way more slender when I was running my ass off in
you're
a restaurant.
20,000 steps in a night.
Oh, yeah. My God. Still, that's not you time. You know what I'm saying? And whatever it is that you can do in this, you know, time you're claiming for yourself before a shift, like a little yoga, boxing, just run and scream, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. That's like, this is for me. And this is to get out, you know, bad energy, calm my nervous system. And we all know, you know, we don't need to explain science, but it is really good for your brain to get some sort of like cardio or stretching or just whatever it is.
You get the blood moving to all your organs. Blood feeds everything. Blood heals everything. Like you got it. Yeah. Cardio is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And also like meditate, have a mantra, you know, like meditate, mantra, mind control.
I put mind control. Maybe start to be like, again, this fucking server from Michigan, you control the story, you control the customers, you know, and to just be like, we'll see if I can make that happen for you. You know, that sort of attitude, I think it can really help to have PMA, positive mental attitude, even when you were at the break.
I also think manifest, man, if you got to make yourself a little bored, you know, like about if that's how you go, if that's your game, that you need to cut out some magazine photos and get a little vision board going for yourself, or you just have an image that you see in your mind over and over and over again about a better life, a better quality of life, like for you, keep fucking focusing because that shit works. You know, for me, I've always like, and it's, you know, because we work to make money, you know, it's, you know, the benefits of like helping people and pleasing people and like the things you get, the rewarding things you take away are great. But obviously it's to like, you know, pay rent and be a part of a capitalist society. But for the longest time, I would have a number in my head that I would just like think of over and over and over again about what I wanted to make yearly. And it's happened every time.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You keep inspiring me even right now. I got to do this. I've been floundering. I'm
you
lost,
manifest
baby.
Like a bitch, though. Like you do it in different ways. Like you have a power that I see, you know,
it's called I put the blinders on and I'm unrealistically stubborn to the point where sometimes I don't realize it's not working and I go down kicking and screaming. So we can
work on that. You're about to step in some piles of shit, but one of these piles of shit's going to have like a bunch of gold underneath it. Like,
hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. We planted some good seeds. So hopefully when some of this hard industry time ease up, the good stuff is coming. But so we'll wrap up on a little bit of, you know, just I think actionable advice. So if I saw Women Talking, movie.
So good.
Sarah Polley. Holy
so
shit.
Great. Which love made Sarah, me love the Sarah Polley.
Holy, you really, this is an incredible movie. And if you've seen it, then you know, or if you see it, this will make sense. So you have to ask yourself, do I stay and fight or leave? Okay.
I read this when I saw it. I was just like thinking of like a entire wait staff sitting up like the upstairs of a barn or, you know, whatever break room, just like contemplating what we should do together. Like all the customers are gone for the day, but we know they're going to come back and fuck with us again, you know? Yep. And yeah, so yeah.
Thank you for outlining our first really fun viral TikTok. We're going to... Let's write that. Anyways, so I think basically the chances are, you know, the problem is not you. It is probably the restaurant and clientele, which has gotten out of hand, or you just are like, I can't handle them anymore. I used to be. There's no amount of hate punching a power bag that will make this go away. So what do you do? Do you stay and fight with the hopes of things eventually getting better, or do you leave, right? Which
That's
is the scariest
scary. Part. Mm-hmm. That's so the really scary part.
I think the best thing to say is you can start writing down things. Or like when I responded to Jarrett with his email, I was just like, hey, listen, since there's a lot of production in Atlanta, Georgia, and you just worked on a set through the bar and you have these other skills, like, you know, working in a haunted house, like all this other stuff. I was like, why not walk into one of these production offices and see if they need security, which is so easy and so different. You literally do just sit on your ass and you don't have to throw out drunk people. You don't have to check IDs, you know?
Yep.
Or because he's so fun and personable, I was like, see if you could get into craft services, you know, and be like a niche craft service in the Atlanta area. And just thinking of where your skills could take you and getting really creative with it is the first thing you can do. But I think having an exit strategy is the most important thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 And you have to be prepared to do the work for the next thing in your
life.
Right.
Right. You know, or I was thinking too, like, if you don't have the space to do it, sometimes you almost have to ramp up the restaurant work and like take as many shifts as possible. So you've got money so you can do something which might be take a month fucking break and then things will seem clear to you. Cause I have trouble sometimes seeing an escape plan while I'm in the midst of something and just being able to walk away, have like 2 weeks to yourself, whatever it takes, you can start to decompress, think rationally, and then look at how you can make a leap because, you know, I'll be honest. When I started getting writing jobs, I've talked about this on the podcast. I was so scared to lose my job at the restaurant because I'm like, it'll all go away. These writing jobs will all go away that I worked 5 days a week and I worked brunch on the weekends so that I would still be on the schedule. And I was so scared of being like excommunicated from the restaurant, you know. But I did a slow fade.
And these are just normal reactions for your brain to have because your brain is like, well, I'm here to protect you, right?
Exactly.
And this is a safe and comfortable situation. And then what if? And like these are just, this is what we go through, you know? And again, these are these golden handcuffs. And they, especially when you're just like trying to do something that you've wanted to do forever or that you wanted to take a chance on yourself. And like, so
okay.
It's tough. I see it.
Our last bit of advice is take DMT have a completely let your ego have an ego death.
Trauma.
Literally have an ego death and you might come back from dying for 10 minutes and be like, fuck yeah, I love my restaurant job.
Participate in a mushroom ceremony.
Yeah.
You know? Ayahuasca's out there.
Right.
Well.
The medicine.
It's like, bring the mother into your body and maybe she'll have some good advice for you, you know, before you puke her up. And that's how she works. That's what I heard anyway. But I mean, you guys, if you're feeling this, tell us about it. We'd love to hear about it. We would love to, you know, help you with your journey if you need it. If not, send us a silly, silly server submitted story. You know, follow us on socials, you guys. You know what to do.
You know where to send that. yeah. send that story.
Sidework pod@gmail.com.
Ooh, we didn't say it at the end of our other actual Christmas stories. Did you?
Oh, no, we didn't.
We did it. Oh, well. Well
sidework pod@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, we are so happy to be back. We love you guys. We miss you. We want to hear from you. And until next week, you know what we say.
We say Godspeed.
And good tips. Talk to you later. Thank you.